Hi guys, I'm Brian, and as I mentioned earlier, we really want to get to the end of the session today because we want to show off a video we made as part of our intervention for these family caregivers. So I'm going to try to zip through the talks as quick as I can without sacrificing meaning and hopefully coherency. But if anything is unclear, if I go too fast, or if you have any other questions, please do not be shy about raising your hands. I'll be happy to put on the brakes and answer them to the best of my ability. So without further ado, we're going to follow up Wendy's talk with a discussion of things less from the medication side and more from the caregiver side, specifically caregivers' experiences and opinions on managing medications for home hospice patients. No disclosures. Same co-investigators, we like to acknowledge them, they were a big help for this study. Same funding institutions. And of course, a very special shout out to our 5 participating hospice organizations. Having worked with all of them to collect this data, I am eternally grateful. We couldn't have done it without them. So by way of introduction, as I'm sure most of you know, a lot of people in the U.S. receive hospice services. Most of them are over the age of 65. And the majority of them prefer to die at home. This requires care, usually from informal caregivers, that is family or friends, to provide most of the hands-on care. And due to the fact that these patients are a little older, and at the end of their lives, they are frequently presenting with complex sets of symptoms, pain, not to mention physical disability, of course. As a result, 80% of these informal caregivers manage medications for patients near the end of life. As we saw in Wendy's talk, medication management is very complex near the end of life. The regimens can be large and complicated. And there are possible correlations with both caregiver burden and non-adherence with the medication instructions. Little is known about the experiences of caregivers, specifically when it comes to managing medications. Generally, the hospice literature focuses on stress, grief, and coping. Identifying ways to help caregivers manage medications can improve the patient's pain and symptom relief. As a result, we set out with this study to describe these caregivers' experiences and opinions when it comes to managing medications for these home hospice patients. Our sample was the same as described in Wendy's study. 5 Chicago-based hospices, you can see their characteristics on the screen there. Our inclusion criteria were relatively basic. The caregivers had to be legal adults, they had to be English-speaking, and they had to be assisting a patient who was at least 60 years old with one or more hospice-prescribed medications. We conducted computer-assisted telephone interviews that lasted approximately 50 minutes a pop. Most caregivers were at home during the interview, and the survey was conducted at a time convenient to them. We also used focus groups and a series of cognitive interviews to assess the survey's face validity ahead of time. This is a flow diagram of our recruitment. As you can see, we started with a little over 200 dyads referred to us by our participating hospice nurses. 53 of those were never screened, for the most part due to the patient dying before the screening interview could be conducted. 7 were determined to be ineligible for various reasons, as you can see. 144 were determined to be eligible. However, 19 of those were never interviewed, again, for the most part due to the patient dying before the first interview could be conducted. 120 individuals eventually made it into the data collection, and we have complete data that is going to inform most of our talks for this morning. The survey topics that I'm going to be talking about now were based on previous work we did that identified 5 key skill domains when it comes to managing medications for home hospice patients. The first, we call teamwork, refers to coordination and communication between the primary caregiver and the hospice agency as well as other caregivers. In our survey, we assessed this using 10 scenario questions, 5 of which were restricted to multiple caregiver households. And if you're wondering what a scenario question is, I'm going to get into that in the very next slide. The next domain is organization of medications. This was assessed by 5 scenario questions asked to all caregivers. The third domain was called personhood and referred to patient preferences and care, specifically the caregiver respect for the same. This was assessed using 8 scenario questions, 2 of which were restricted to caregivers of cognitively intact patients. We then switched to knowledge questions, the first being the symptom knowledge domain. This was assessed using 6 opinion questions. And finally, medication knowledge, 23 opinion questions, most of which were dependent on the caregiver giving a certain form of medication, for example, a pill, a liquid, an opioid, etc. This slide presents examples of the two types of questions that were asked. The first is what was called an opinion question on the previous slide, and is essentially a true or false question. The interviewer would read a statement. A patient would need morphine only if he or she is actively dying, and present the respondent with four possible answers. These were ultimately combined to reflect general agreement or disagreement. The second type of question, scenario question, had two parts. The first was a simple yes or no question probing the caregiver's experience. Has the cognitively intact patient ever actively refused his or her medicine? Yes or no? In addition to being collected, the responses for this question determined the phrasing of the second part. It would refer to either the caregiver's actual past experience or a hypothetical question depending on their response to the first question. Did or would you still give him or her the medicines as prescribed? The respondent, again, was presented with four answer choices. In all cases, the answers to these choices were used to construct a score representing the caregiver's knowledge of medication management. Higher score represented higher skill. Moving on to our study results, we begin, of course, with a description of our study sample. Of the 120 caregivers, the vast majority were female. Most were between 50 and 70 years old. A slight majority were adult children. Most were Caucasian. And 22% had not attended college, which is more or less in line with the literature. It should be noted, however, that the majority did not have a college degree. Moving on to our domain-specific results, the coordination and communication component of the survey, 88% had called a hospice nurse for assistance. 22% would only call the hospice nurse during business hours, that is 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., regardless of whether there was an emergency. One quarter of respondents would also wait until they reached their nurse, as opposed to calling a triage line. 11% had actually called 911 when the patient needed medical attention after hospice enrollment. When it came to negotiating with other caregivers in the household, 38% had privately hired caregivers helping the patient, and of those 46 individuals, 17% would rarely or never ask hospice for guidance with disagreements between the hired caregiver and the medications prescribed by hospice. 58% of the total sample had other family members helping with the patient's care. Of those 69 individuals, one quarter would rarely or never ask hospice for guidance with disagreements between the other family caregivers and the patient's treatment plan. And this points to a couple of things, namely a need for hospice to provide more reassurance when it comes to guiding caregivers on when to call, who they should call, that sort of thing, as well as greater assistance with negotiating conflicts in the household. Moving on to the organization domain, 43% of the sample reported patients taking a medication not prescribed by hospice, 37% reported missing a scheduled dose, 97% reported tracking medications. However, only 78% always or sometimes tracked the name, purpose, and amounts of medications given. Furthermore, 30% of the sample never or rarely tracked the time when meds should be given and compared it to when they were actually given. This points to a need for greater emphasis on tracking medications, more materials from hospice possibly, but basically there's room for improvement. 43% reported that they discarded used syringes, old medicated patches, or other leftover medications with the regular trash as well. Moving on to the patient preferences and care domain, 56% reported the patient developing new symptoms after enrolling in hospice, which points again to the complexity of these medication responsibilities. 66% of the sample reported having a mentally aware patient. Of those 79 individuals, 81% would still give pain medications if the patient denied having pain while cringing or moaning. And again, of those 79 individuals, 71% would still give medications as prescribed even if the patient actively refused them. It should also be noted that 29% of those 79 caregivers had actually encountered patient refusal. This all points to a need for hospice assistance in terms of negotiating with patients who are unwilling to take their medications for whatever reason. Regarding the symptom knowledge domain, 33% believed there were no common end-of-life symptoms, 23% believed there were none for anxiety as well, and 18% believed that monitoring the patient for regular bowel movements was necessary only when he or she was eating regularly, all of which points to a need for further education of this population. Finally, medication knowledge. 93% had a patient who took medications in pill form. Nothing terribly exciting there. However, it is relevant for the next 2 points. Of those 111 individuals, 26% believe that crushing pills is safe for any medication, while 43% believed pills could be mixed with any foods or liquids, both of which potentially dangerous situations given certain kinds of medications prescribed by hospices. 59% of the entire sample believed giving short-acting pain medications while taking long-acting pain medications would lead to an overdose, which points to an unmet need for education in pain medications. 44% believed morphine is addictive and should rarely be used. 20% believed that morphine speeds up the dying process. And 35% believed meds must be given within 10 minutes of scheduled. So the other thing you can see from this slide is that the stigma against opioids is unfortunately still alive and well, and that further work must be done to try and combat that in the caregiver population. This slide just summarizes the results. I won't bother repeating myself in the interests of time, but suffice it to say there is quite a bit of work that could be done with this population. The limitations: this is a small, convenient sample taken from a single city, which limits our generalizability. It is a cross-sectional descriptive study, thus no causal inferences can be made. However, it does highlight some key areas for potential practice improvement that may help address a host of issues in this area. In particular, we would suggest focusing on aids or logs for tracking medication, education regarding symptoms and opioids, as well as future research exploring risk factors for areas with which caregivers need help, and the consequences of a lack of help in these areas on patient pain and comfort level.